Hallelujah. What a joy, what a blessing to be with all of you here in this beautiful place. And you know, I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad the way all of you people of God came together in Hamilton. And I pray that the presence of God that will be poured in this place and you know, the New Zealand see the glory of God. Hallelujah. When I came in, somebody told me, well, miracles may not happen in New Zealand. That's what they said when I came in. I said, why not? Why not? You know, when I went to Britain to preach, they told me miracles don't happen in Britain. When I went to Germany, they said miracles don't happen in Germany. When I went to Switzerland, they said miracles don't happen in Switzerland. When I went to Sweden, they said miracles don't happen in Sweden. You know, I said to them, I don't know why people say miracles happen someplace, it don't happen other place. It doesn't matter wherever it is, in every place, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the Lord everywhere. I thank God for His presence. I glorify God. Hallelujah. Very quickly, I just want to share the word of God with you just for a few minutes. And after that, we're going to pray again. Again, miracles will happen. Just I'm going to share for 10 to 15 minutes. Listen carefully, and the presence of God will touch you and do a miracle in your life. While I was in England, you know, I preached in a conference called Lincolnshire Grapevine Conference, which was which had a registration of 16,000 British people registered in the conference. I went to preach over there in the Lincolnshire. And, you know, the pastor that asked me a question. He asked me, Rambo, I have a question. Why is it that you Asians don't keep time? I said, good question. I said, because we are like Jesus. They said, Jesus? What do you mean? I said, simple. Jesus said, I'm coming soon. When he's coming, he never said. If Jesus was British, he would have given you the date, time, and hour and the second when he's going to come. Hallelujah. Thank God he's Asian. Hallelujah. Praise God. So very quickly, I just want to share a little scripture with you. Well, by the way, I'm Ram Babu from India. Well, I'm so glad to be here. And just to share a little of myself, I live in a place called Bangalore in India. I love Jesus. I used to be the hater of Jesus Christ once upon a time. And I used to burn the Bibles and tear the Bibles and speak filthy words about Lord Jesus Christ. I hated him. I had one desire in my heart was to destroy Christianity in India, because I was formerly a Hindu priest in two temples. And so I hated Jesus Christ. I don't know whether I can have time to share my story with all of you. But the Lord in His mercy touched me and then changed my life. And I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ ever since. For past 23 years, I've been serving the Lord and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God for His grace upon me. And I want to just read one scripture to show you my story. My story is exactly written in the Bible here. I just want to read my story to you. If you want to know, my testimony is exactly in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank Christ Jesus, of verse from verse 12 onwards. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his ministry. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and man, I was mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of Jesus Christ was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for this reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience, example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's exactly was my story. Hated Jesus, formerly a Hindu priest in two temples, and rejected Christ. I went to a Christian meeting to mock and make fun of Jesus Christ. You know, As an engineering college student, I went to a meeting to just make fun of Jesus and disrupt a Christian meeting happening. I collected a few stones, went and sat in the last row of the meeting. And, you know, because I, for me, Christianity was a foreign religion. And I never used to go to churches because I come from a high caste family of a Brahmin. I was a priest. I would never, you know, I was even worshipped as God in many houses. I was worshipped as Guru in many houses. People would wash my feet and put the water on their heads as holy water and think if Rambabu comes, God comes to our house. From the age of 9, I was worshipped as Guru and God in many houses from the age of 9. So I hated Jesus with all my heart. I went to a Christian meeting once because I wanted to disrupt the meeting happening. And I sat in the last row of the meeting with a few stones in my hands. And as the preacher was preaching, I was throwing stones at this person and that person to disrupt the meeting. I never heard what the preacher preached. At the end, the preacher said very strange thing. He said, Jesus Christ is a living God. And because he's alive today, whatever he has done 2,000 years ago, he can do it even today. The preacher said, what is impossible to man is possible with Jesus Christ. He said, all hope might have gone. Come to Jesus, he will give you hope. And what is impossible, doctors can become possible with Jesus Christ. When he said that, when I heard that, I was angry. I said, how dare this guy to say what no one can do, that this Jesus can do. Because for me, Christianity was a Western religion, I used to think. How can Jesus do, you know, the things nobody can do? So from the meeting, I went straight to my friend's house, who was a Muslim. And he had a younger sister who was a mute girl. She was not deaf, she was only mute. She could not even utter a single sound from her mouth. Only air would come out of her. They took her to doctors. They did surgeries and then speech therapies and everything. But she could never speak. When doctors couldn't do anything, they took her to all their Islamic holy places and nothing happened. That's why my advice took her to all the Hindu temples and nothing happened. So I went to this friend of mine. I said to him, hey, I just went to a Christian meeting. A Christian fool has come to our town. And he says what no one can do that Jesus can do. I said, let's take your sister tomorrow to the meeting. Have some fun in the meeting and make fun of Jesus Christ. So next evening, I go to the meeting with my friend. My friend, his sister and myself, we go to the meeting. We sit in the meeting. And the preacher began to preach. He said some weird things that day. He said, all of us have sinned. So God had to punish all of us. But God loved us so much, he didn't want to punish us. But instead of punishing us, he became a man and came to the earth and became our substitute, carried our sin, our sickness, our curse, our poverty, guilt, shame, shed his blood, died, buried. After 3 days, he rose again from the dead. You know, when I heard that, I was shocked and surprised because as a Hindu, I believed in a principle called karma and believed a principle of reincarnation. In Hinduism, we believe that whatever, you know, that you a person will die and take birth. And whatever you do in one birth, the consequence of it, you suffer the next birth. Whatever you do in that birth, consequence of a next birth, the karma cycle goes on and on. Nobody can help you. So, but here was a new teaching, this man saying that I did wrong and somebody else suffered my wrongdoing. And how can somebody suffer my wrongdoing? Then the preacher finished preaching. He called the people for prayer. Anybody want to give your life to Jesus, come forward. I didn't know what is giving life to Jesus. I didn't go forward. Then he said, anybody want healing, come forward. I took the girl, went forward. He prayed for her. Nothing happened. He said, come back tomorrow. I went back next day again. And again sat in the meeting. Because that was the last day of the meeting, I wanted to make fun of Jesus Christ. So I went back again, sat in the meeting. Again heard the message of Jesus Christ. Again salvation call, I didn't go forward. Again healing prayer, I went forward. And the preacher asked me, young man, do you believe that Jesus Christ can heal your sister? I nodded my head, simply, no faith. Then he laid hands upon that girl. He said, in the name of Jesus, you mute spirit, come out. Speak in the name of Jesus. And he said to that girl, sister, say Jesus. And the mute Muslim girl opened her mouth and said, Jesus. Hallelujah. She began to speak. The preacher told me, look, your sister is talking. I went to her, I asked her, come on, say your name, Khatija. She said, Khatija. I was shocked. I always say this. When I heard the mute girl speaking, I became mute. You know, I always tell this to people, Jesus opened her mouth and he shut mine. And so that night, I went back home and I didn't give my life to Jesus after seeing the miracle. I went back home. That night, I had a glorious encounter with Jesus Christ in my house. And on that night, 80 January 1983, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He changed my life completely. And after giving my life to Jesus, I went through lots of problems like same story like Paul. You know, my parents kicked me out. I was thrown out of the house, excommunicated. And as a young teenage boy with a bicycle in my hands, I used to go to villages to preach, come back, and no place to go. I was the first Hindu convert in the history of my city of 1 million people. So, thrown out, nobody knows about me, need to have any church background, no spiritual fathers, nobody to build me, nobody to mentor me. So, thrown out of the house, preach, bicycle, come back, and go to a train station, drink stomach full of water, sleep in the train station. 8 days, 9 days, I used to drink water and sleep. My food used to be water, my bedroom used to be railway station. You know, somebody told me, I always say, somebody told me, Bill Gates is so rich that in Bill Gates' bedroom is so big that the car can go inside, somebody said. I said, what's big in that? My bedroom was so big the train could come inside. Hallelujah. From there, the Lord picked me up and began to use me. I finished my engineering. I started working as a lecturer in engineering college. And then when I was supposed to go to my further studies, the Lord called me into full-time ministry to resign my job and give out all the money I have for ministries, different ministries, and close the bank account, pick the Bible and preach. So I closed my bank account, gave the money to all the ministries, resigned my job, pick the Bible, begin to preach. And I was the first full-time minister in the history of 1 million people in my city. Hallelujah. Nobody knew what is full-time ministry being living by faith. I was kicked out of the house and all that. But the Lord been with me, blessed me, built me up. And now, by God's grace, I traveled to 41 nations of the world. I had a privilege of sitting with the poorest of the poor, the richest of the rich. I preached the gospel to the prime ministers of nations, presidents of the countries. I've been with the kings and rulers. I stayed in the smallest of the huts and I stayed in the royal palaces. I've been the guest of the poor man in a hut. I've been the guest of the president of a nation. I've been the guest having breakfast with the kings and the rulers. So God picked me up from there and used me for his glory. Today, happily married with a beautiful wife. Her name is Vinita, and a wonderful son Ankit, and a beautiful daughter Hanika, with a ministry called New Creation Ministries, with which we take the gospel of Jesus all over the world. And my vision is the world. My passion is souls. Hallelujah. That's my desire of my heart, and I love Jesus with all my heart, and I thank God for his love. But let me finish. The story is not complete. And over the years, God began to work in my family. My mom died, went to be with the Lord. And before she died, my mom was born again. Hallelujah. My mom gave her life to Jesus. My dad is coming to Christ. My dad accepted Christ. My elder brother is coming to the Lord. My youngest son accepted Christ. My dad's sister's son is a pastor. Hallelujah. So that's my story of God's faithfulness. I give glory to God and I thank God for his faithfulness in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so the man standing here is a man who hated Jesus. As Paul said, this is the rightful saying, deserving full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I still remember the times when I used to dip the Bible in kerosene, light with a matchstick, throw the burning Bible up, and then call and clap my hands and challenge the Christians, if your God is alive, let him stop his book from being burnt. Tear the Bibles, speak filthy words about Jesus Christ. But thank God, he not only forgave me, and he trusted me today that I can preach the same Bible which I burned once upon a time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So very quickly, let me share the word of God. That's about my story. Now let me talk to God's story. Tonight, very few minutes, just 15 minutes, I want to bring to you an invitation from the Almighty God. You know, I'm here because I've been invited by the Brothers of Festival of Joy to come down to be here. But tonight, I want to bring to you an invitation from the Almighty God. So please listen to the invitation. Let me read to you from book of Isaiah and chapter 55. Look up Isaiah and chapter 55. Verse 1. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Hallelujah. This is an invitation from Almighty God. God is saying, come, all you who are thirsty, come to me and drink. Why do you spend your money on something that does not satisfy, and your money on something which does not fill you? Listen to me carefully. You know, I just want to put forth one question, a silly sounding question before you tonight. A silly sounding question. The question I want to put before you is, why are you living? Why you are doing so many things in your life? Why are you doing the things you've been doing in your life? If you've been a smoker, why are you smoking? If you are an alcoholic, why are you taking alcohol? If you are a drug addict, why do you want to take drugs? If you are involved in sex, why is it you want to involve in sexual immorality in your life? If you are involved in rebellion, why do you want to be involved in rebellion in your life? If you want a good house, why do you want a good house? If you want a good car, why do you want a good car? If you want a good job, why do you want a good job? You know, there are so many things we want in life, but the question I want to ask today is, why do you want the things that you want in your life? I want it, I want this, I want that's okay. But the question is, why do you want those things in your life? Very simple. Everyone does not want anything in life for one reason: to be happy. Hallelujah. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. Whatever you do in life, you do because that gives you happiness. Nobody will ever do anything that does not give them happiness. I remember as a child, I didn't want to go to school. I always wanted to play. So my school timing was at 10 a.m. Till 9 a.m., Rambab is perfectly healthy. Exactly 9:30, Rambab has stomachache. Mommy, stomach. Mommy is wondering what happened. Mom, why son got stomachache? She is so concerned. She does everything, anything, stomachache doesn't go. Exactly by 11 a.m., stomachache disappears. Why? I didn't want to go to school. Even as a kid, I didn't want to do anything that doesn't give me happiness. Everything you and I do, we do just for one reason: to be happy. But the question is, who is happy? That's the question. And the problem is, everybody thinks the other person is happy. Everyone in the world thinks the other person is happy. Now imagine, I don't know about New Zealand, this is my first time, but imagine in the wildest of dreams, during the summertime, the temperature goes to 45 degrees centigrade. I don't know how much is Fahrenheit here. You're Fahrenheit centigrade. How do you measure temperature here? Centigrade, Fahrenheit? Centigrade here? Okay. Suppose the temperature, does it become 50 or 45 anytime here? Okay. Okay, just imagine. Okay, forget it. You can't imagine now. So how does it look like? I went to England and told my friends, imagine. He said, no, we can't imagine. British people. I said, why? We don't even see sun. How can we imagine? So, okay, forget it. Okay, I'll take you back to India. Let me transport you to India. Imagine on a peak summer day in India, a temperature of 45 to 48 degrees, hot, sizzling day. Imagine there is a poor man, a homeless man, walking on the road who cannot even afford a bicycle. Very, very poor, and is walking on the hot sun. And he's struggling in the hot sun, and he looks at a person going in a bicycle. He looks at him and thinks, I am sure the guy in the bicycle should be very happy. If I get a bicycle like that, I'll be very happy too. Now this guy is going in the bicycle, hot sun, struggling to pedal. And he sees one guy going in the bike, woof, going in the bike. He looks at him. A cycle guy thinks, I'm sure the guy in the bike should be very happy. If I get the bike, I'll be happy. Now the guy going the bike, he looks at another guy zooming past in a car. He says, wow, look at that guy in the car. I'm sure the guy in the car is happy. If I get the car, I'm very happy. The guy going in the car looks at another guy going in a Bentley car. And thinks, wow, look at the guy going in the Bentley car. The guy in the Bentley car will be so happy. If I can have a Bentley, I am happy. And the one going in the car looks at the guy going in the aeroplane. And thinks, wow, look at the guy going the plane. If I had a flight like that, my own aircraft, I could have flown like that. And the guy going in aircraft, one aircraft, thinks, look at the guy who has two aircrafts. And if I can have two aircrafts, I am happy. You see, the cycle goes on and on. Everybody thinking the other person is happy. But the question here is, who is happy? The question is not who wants to be a millionaire. The question is, who should be the happiest person in the world? Hallelujah. And you know, when I go across the world, people tell me, well, God doesn't want anybody to be really happy. The question people ask is, what must I do to be happy? Now, when I come to New Zealand, I see people, you know, going in their sails, they're going in the yachts, and they're going in the boat, they're going sailing, they're going fishing, they're going everything. And you come on the weekends, Saturday night, you see, you know, young boys and girls standing outside the nightclubs, they want to go into the club. You know, when I see young boys and girls standing outside the pub and the club to go inside to enjoy, I see in their eyes an expectation, thinking, when I go there, I'm going to be happy. You know, everybody looking somewhere where to get happiness, how to find happiness. So people spend money, people spend their energy, people spend everything they have to be happy. I remember a guy, a friend of mine, who had so many problems. He was a rich man, so many problems in life. He wanted happiness. Somebody told him, the best way to forget all your problems is get to alcohol. And this guy started drinking, thinking he'll forget all the problems. He started drinking and drinking and drinking. And he's more and more he started drinking. Initially, he thought he was okay. But then slowly, slowly today, if you look at him, he's got now liver cancer. He's about to die. He lost his money. He lost his family. He lost his health. Why? In search of happiness. Now, a rebellious young boy or a girl who is rejected at home or who's abused in the house or abused somewhere, she's so much in pain, he's so much in pain, he wants to find happiness. So he said, let me go to drugs because I want to find happiness. And they go to drugs, they go get into sexual immorality, thinking that will give them happiness. They spend their money on drugs, they spend their energy on drugs. Why? Looking for happiness. But that doesn't make them happy. At the end of the day, they look back and see their life is gone. I remember my son was a little boy. His favorite movie used to be Home Alone. I don't know how many times I watched Home Alone 1 and 2. I don't even remember. He watched again, again, again. But other day when I went to the website, my son showed me, Papa, did you see this picture? I saw the picture of Macaulay Culkin, who was the hero of the Home Alone. If you look at this present picture and the past picture, you cannot recognize him. Getting into drugs is completely ruined. You look at him, your heart breaks thinking, is this the same handsome, cute-looking boy who's become like this? But why? In search of happiness. I want to be happy. If I go into drugs, it can make me happy. People are spending their money and energy on things that does not give them satisfaction. More and more you do what you do, you are like a thirsty man drinking salt water. That can never quench your thirst. Now comes the question, what must I do to be happy? Why am I not happy in the world? How to be happy? Very simple. Look at me. Listen to me. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created sun, moon, stars, everything you and I see. And on the sixth day, God created man. God never created anybody high class, anybody low class. God created only one class, his own class. The Bible says God made man in his own image. And God loved man. And the Bible says God put in the heart of a man an emptiness. And that emptiness in the man cannot be filled by anything or anybody except the creator who made the man. So God said to man, man, I am the source of all good things. And I want to live in you. And so God put an emptiness inside man, and the source of all good things was living in man. When the source of all good things was living in man, man was happy without doing anything. Amen. When I have well in my house, I don't search for water outside. So God was in man. So man was not looking for happiness anywhere. Then God said to man, man, I give you everything you want, but only one thing, obey me. Listen to me. And one Bible says for some time, Adam and Eve obeyed God. And one day the devil came to man and said, why do you want to obey God? Look at yourself. You're good. You're self-sufficient. You don't like anything. Now why do you want God? Why do you want some God to tell you how to live? Look at yourself. You are God. You are God. Today, look at the world today. People are coming to the, you know, countries like New Zealand, or you know, you go to any Western countries, people think, oh, we are happy, self-sufficient. Why do I need God? I got everything. I don't need God anymore. Well, third world people need God, not me. And some, you know, one day I was in England, I read in the newspaper. I read one young girl in the Saturday, she went to the pub and she came out of the nightclub and she went to make a phone call to her boyfriend from the telephone booth and she was raped in the telephone booth. And there was a big article saying, a young girl raped in the public telephone booth. And I looked at it and said, oh, so sad, 2 a.m., so sad I felt. But then I had a question. What was she doing at 2 a.m. in the telephone booth? What was she doing at 2 a.m. drunk in the telephone booth? Well, simple. I am my own God. I can do what I want to do. I know what is good. I know what is wrong. I know what is supposed to do. I am God. I choose what I'm supposed to do. God told man, I'll tell you what is good, what is wrong. Man said, no, I'll choose what is good, what is wrong. The moment man said, I am God, it became sin in the God. When man sinned, when man said, I am God, it became pride. Pride is a sin. Why there are wars everywhere? One reason, pride. Everybody thinks they are better than other people. That's the reason why there are wars. That's the reason why there are problems. When you think others are better than you, there will be no war. When you think you are better than others, there is always a war. Pride. Man became proud and said, I am God. And God said, the moment pride came in, God said, well, pride came in. Pride is sin. When sin came in, I cannot be in you. And the Bible says when sin came in, God left man and man had an emptiness inside. From that day, man became empty, began to search how to fill that emptiness. I met rich people. I was in Silicon Valley. I met one guy. You know, I'm telling you, he took me to his house. His house was so big, I thought I'll get lost in the house. I need a road map or maybe, you know, navigation system to how to go through the house. Such a massive house. He was talking to me. He asked me one question. I saw you. You are smiling so genuinely and so happy. I want to ask you a question. How to be happy? He said, in the nights I lie down on my bed, I keep looking at the roof and spend the whole night because I'm unable to sleep. Somebody said like this, with money you can buy the bed, not the sleep. Amen. With money you can buy the food, not the hunger. Money cannot buy everything. This man said, I can't sleep in the night. Brother Rambabu, can you tell me how can I sleep like the way you sleep? How can I have a smile that you have on your face? He has everything. And he said to me, there's something empty inside. I need something. I don't know what. Here, there's so many people seated here tonight. I know by the Holy Spirit here. I can see in your spirits here. I see your heart here. You got everything, but you're saying there is something empty inside. I need something. I got everything, but there is emptiness inside. I need something. I don't know what I need. Let me tell you what you need. You need your Creator. Hallelujah. That emptiness in you, my friend, cannot be filled by anything or anybody except the one who made you. Man is searching with drugs, drinks, sex, pleasures, buying house, better car, aircraft, better things, good things, thinking they will fill the emptiness. Nothing can fill the emptiness except the one who made you. And the Bible says, God in heaven looked down. And God said, No. These people are searching to fill the emptiness, and nothing can fill the emptiness. Only I can fill them. And God said, only when I fill the emptiness, you are happy. But God said, I can't come into you because you're living in sin. Only when your sin is removed, I can come into you. And God said, for the sin to be removed, the sin has to be punished. You know something about it? God is not only God of love, God is a righteous judge also. Can you hear an amen? God is a righteous judge. Any country, in your own country, New Zealand, imagine where a guy is arrested for murder and he stands in the court and he tells the judge, yes, my Lord, I'm guilty. I accept I am guilty. And then he tells the judge, I know I'm guilty and I deserve punishment. And so this guy takes a whip. Imagine he whips himself until head to toe, his body, his skin is split, he's bleeding all over. And then he tells the judge, now I punish myself for my wrongdoing. Will you please forgive me? Will the judge pardon him? Yes or no? Please tell me. Huh? But he punished himself for his wrongdoing. Then he says, okay, I'll do one thing. I'm a very rich man. I'll give all the money I have to the poor. I'll do a lot of good. Let me go. Will the judge let him go? No. But when you look at the world, to please God, some people punish themselves. They walk barefooted. I tell you, I thought Western people are very wise. But when I saw them in India there is a woman. She's called as mother. She's called as mother. And this woman, who was a mother, called as mother, goddess, she used to work in a government office in a clerical post. One day she had realization she is goddess, she is mother. And today, people from all over the world go to her. She is called hugging saint. They go to get a hug from her. One day I was preaching in a city. I was in the elevator. I was in the lift. I saw so many Western people. Americans were there. Germans, British were there. I looked at them. I said, why are you all here? We came to see mother. I said, who's mother? Holy mother. I said, holy mother? Who is she?
how we came to get a hug from mother. I asked them, why your mom won't hug you? No, this is different mother. I told him, the hug that your mom cannot give, no other mom can give you, man. Can hear an amen to this? Hallelujah. So, searching for God, they come to India and they walk barefooted. I remember I was in Bangalore walking on the street. I saw a Western guy giving out flyers. I thought he's a Christian. I went to him. I saw he was completely shaven with a pigtail. I asked him, who are you? He said, I am from Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. And he told me, he gave it to me and said, if you want to, you know, if you're searching for God, come. I am also searching. We can search for God together. I told him, I found him. He said, where? I said, in Jesus. He said to me, my parents are Christians. My father was a pastor. I rejected Jesus, came to India in search of God. And you say, you found God in Jesus. I could share the gospel to him right on the road. People come to India thinking God is there. Walking barefooted. I'm a vegetarian. They stand on one leg. Why all that? You know, I tell you why. They are searching for God. Because whether you are east or west, everyone is searching for God because you are made in the image of God. Hallelujah. And some people, they spend money in orphanages, giving food to the poor. It's good to do it. You have to do it. But if you think by doing good, you can please God, I'm telling you, you're mistaken. God says, you have sinned against me. I'm a righteous judge. So for your wrong, I should punish you. As a criminal need to be punished by the law before he can be forgiven. God says, you got to be punished by me before I can forgive you. But God said, I don't want to punish you because I love you. So he said, instead of punishing you, God had a plan called substitution. Substitution, we all know. I love cricket. Anybody know cricket here? I didn't see only a few hands. Not many people in New Zealand know cricket here. Yeah. Imagine a cricket match. You know, a cricket match is happening. There is a fielder fielding, and the batsman hit the ball. Get on, you know, but the fielder was struck with the ball. He's injured. He goes away. Another man comes and takes his place. He is called the substitute of the previous man. In the same way, God said, the whole humanity have sinned. So they all need to be punished by me. But instead of punishing them, if I can find one man who never sinned, if this one man can become the substitute of the whole sinful humanity, and the punishment I'm supposed to give to humanity, if this man can take it as a substitute, if the world can believe that this man became a substitute, then I can forgive them. God searched the whole earth. He didn't find anybody. All had sinned. Therefore, this God himself left the heaven and came down to the earth as a man, born to a virgin, born in a manger. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Who is Jesus? Not a religious leader. Who is Jesus? Not a carpenter. Who is Jesus? Not a good teacher. The creator who became a man to be a substitute to take our place and go through everything you and I are supposed to go through. Hallelujah. When he came to the earth, he showed people who God is. God is not the God who condemns a sinner. God is a God who forgives a sinner. Hallelujah. He forgave a prostitute. He opened the eyes of blind. He made the crippled to walk. He raised the dead. He worked miracles. But that's not the only purpose he came. A day came. Jesus was arrested. He was whipped. He was beaten head to toe. He was bleeding. His body was cut and bleeding all over. They put a crown of thorns upon him. They made him carry the cross. They nailed him to the cross. They spat on him. And they said, if you are God, if you are the Savior, come down. And some people said, if Jesus is God, why should he suffer? Can God die? If Jesus is God, he could have wiped out everybody in a minute. Why should he die helplessly? My friend, he could have wiped out anybody. But he came for that very reason. What was the sin of Jesus? He forgave a prostitute. Was that a sin? He made the blind to see. Was that a sin? He fed the hungry. Was that a sin? He made the crippled to walk. Was that a sin? He forgave a prostitute and restored value as his child. Was that a sin? What was the sin of Jesus to be punished? It was not the sin of Jesus. It was your sin. Your sin. Your sin. My sin. We need to be punished by God. But he said, I'll become your substitute. I'll be punished in your place. He took our sin upon him. You know why people are healed today? Not because Rambabu is praying. The Bible says he became our substitute. He carried our sickness on his body. Every wound on his body represents our sickness. By his wounds you are healed. Hallelujah. He carried our sin, our sickness, our curse, our poverty, guilt, shame, rejection. He was rejected by the world. Why? So that you can be accepted today. He shed his blood. He died. Before dying, he said, it is finished. What is finished? Everything you and I are supposed to do to please God, Jesus finished it. He died on the cross. He was buried. Many people said, oh, Jesus was a good man, said good things, did good things, died, buried, story is over. Many good people came, said good things, did good things, died, buried, their graves are with us. Jesus came, said good things, did good things, died, buried, but did not remain buried. After three days, Jesus Christ the Lord rose again from the dead. He is alive. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Oh, Rambabu, Jesus is alive? Yes. Oh, what a story you're saying. Jesus is alive. If he's alive, let him prove it. If he's proved alive, then I believe. The proof you want? The proof is all the miracles you saw right before your eyes. That's a proof Jesus is alive. You know, I'm preaching, I'm seeing this mama smiling and listening to me. My all preaching, she's listening, smiling, looking at me, listening. That's a proof Jesus is alive. Can hear an amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. And today he says, all that you got to do to fill the emptiness is, just say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have sinned. Forgive my sin, Lord. I have rebelled. Forgive my rebellion. For my sin, for my rebellion, I am punishing myself. But today I understand you are punished for me, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sin, Lord. Come into my life. When you say that, his blood will wash away all your filth. And then Jesus Christ will come into your life. Once he comes in, your emptiness is filled up. He is the source of all good things you need in life. When he comes in, the emptiness is filled up. And then you are happy without doing anything. 26 years ago, I said, Jesus, come into my life. Till today, I never asked the question, what must I do to be happy? Why should I do something to be happy when I have the source of all happiness living inside of me? His name is Jesus. That is called grace. Grace is you don't do anything, he did everything. He comes in and you don't do anything, you are happy without doing anything in life. Hallelujah. Look what he has done to me, he can do to you today. How long you want to live in the rebellion? How long you want to live the way you're living, thinking by doing what you're doing, you're going to be happy? No, my friend, you're not happy. You're becoming more miserable. Why do you want to waste your money on something that does not satisfy you? Why do you want fake when you can get the real? The real is not a religion. It's a person. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Following Jesus is not a religion. Rambabu, if I get Jesus, do I become religious? No. No. Rambabu, if I get, when I follow Jesus, do I get a new religion? No. Jesus doesn't give you new religion. He gives you new life. Hallelujah. He doesn't change your name. He'll change your life. It happened to me. It happened to many people here. It can happen to you today. If you can open up and say, Jesus, come in. Stand up with me. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus.
I believe that he is here now. Standing in our midst. Here with the power to heal and the grace to forgive. Hallelujah. All every eye to be closed wherever you are for just 2 minutes, my friends. May every eye to be closed wherever you are. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Is there anybody here who says, Rabbi, I've been empty. I have never given my life to Jesus till today. I don't know what is giving life to Jesus. I'm empty inside. I'm searching, I'm seeking, I'm messed up. I thought I'm self-sufficient, but there's emptiness. I don't know how to fill the emptiness. My friend, tonight, the emptiness can be filled through Lord Jesus Christ. When every eye is closed, I want to ask you a question. If there is anybody here who say, Rambabu, today, I want Jesus to come into my life. I want Jesus to change my life. I want my emptiness to be gone. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I never did it before. I had my own thoughts about Jesus. But today I want Jesus to come into my life and change my life. I need a change in my life. Then I want to pray for such people. Those people who want to give their life to Jesus today. Who want Jesus to forgive you. Who want Jesus to come into your life. Fill your emptiness. Change your life. Bring you out of the mess you are in. Such people, just raise your hand up wherever you are. I want to pray with you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Come on, high up. High up. Come on. High up. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Anybody else? Come on. God bless you. God bless you. I see so many hands going everywhere. God bless you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. I want to tell you, you don't need to have guts to live wrong. You need guts to live right. Don't be afraid to put your hand up for Jesus. Say, yes, I want a change in life. Raise your hand higher. You can. You are never too young to give your life to Jesus. You are never too old to give your life to Jesus. Tonight is a night where your life can change. You may say, but Rambabu, you don't know. The dirty things I've done in my life, I messed up my life. That's okay. Jesus is not mad at you. He wants to forgive you. He won't condemn you. He forgives you. He wants to bring you out of the mess you are in. He wants to give you new life. I see so many hands going up everywhere. As you sing the same song, all of you put your hands up. Those who want Jesus to come into your life and change your life, I want to pray for you. Those who put your hands up saying, I want Jesus to come into my life and change my life, I sing this song. Leave your place. Come walking up in the front here, please. Come on up. Come on, walk up. Come walk up in the front. My friend, I want to call you one more time. Don't waste one more day. You don't need to be ashamed to come to Jesus, because when you join Jesus, you join the winning side. Who wants to be ashamed to join the winning side? Hallelujah. Come on, anyone else? I have patience to wait for you, because you don't know your value. I know your value. You are worth life of my Jesus Christ. Come on, anyone else? There is somebody else still. There are two young people still. You are resilient to come. Come on. Come on, anyone else? Quickly come up in the front. Come walking up boldly. Come on. God bless you. Keep coming. Keep coming. Come on. Come on. Anyone else? Why do you want to risk your life?
Why do you want to waste your money in something that does not satisfy you? Come on, my friend. Today, your rejection will be over. Today, your depression will be over. Today, you'll be cleaned up. Your drugs will be gone. Your rebellion will be gone. You become a new person today. You become a new person. Jesus doesn't condemn you, neither do I condemn you. Jesus loves you and I love you. The answer to your depression is not antidepressive pills. It's your Creator whose name is Jesus. Come on, no more loneliness. No more rejections. Come on, quickly up. There's somebody else who wants to come. You are hesitating. Come on, I'm waiting for you. Come quickly up. One last time I'm singing. And as you sing the last time, I want to give a chance to you to come forward. Come on, quickly, please. You know, tonight is a night you will remember all your life, where your destiny is going to change. You know, those of you who came in the front, you did not come to Rambabu, you did not come to religion, you come to Jesus Christ. And He's standing right in front of you, just waiting for a minute to enter your life. If you can open your mouth and say, Jesus, come into my life, He will come in. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. Through this prayer, you're going to tell Jesus that you're sorry for the way you lived all these days. And you believe that He is your Savior, Creator. You want Him to come into your life and change your life. This is the prayer I will lead you into. Close your eyes. Raise your hands up, those who came in the front. Raise both your hands up, please. Lifting up your hands is a sign of surrender to Lord Jesus Christ. Close your eyes. And repeat this prayer after me. Say this prayer after me loudly with all your heart. Repeat this prayer after me. Say with me. Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody. Say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ. I come to you. I believe in you. I believe you are my Creator. You became a man. You died in my place. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you became my substitute. I believe you carried my sin. I believe you carried my sickness. I believe you carried my curse. I believe you carried my guilt and shame. I believe you carried my rejection. I believe you carried the punishment of my rebellion. I believe you shed your blood. And you died on the cross. I believe you are buried. And after 3 days, you rose again from the dead. Say with me, Lord Jesus Christ, I open my life to you. Forgive all my sins. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Change my life.
tonight, I choose to follow you. I choose to turn away from my sin. I choose to turn away from my old way of life. I choose to turn to Jesus. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I declare, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for filling my emptiness. Now I boldly declare, my sins are forgiven. I am not a sinner anymore. I am a child of God. I have a new life. I am born again. I call upon the Lord. And I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, give the Lord a mighty hand of praise, everybody. Come on. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. They opened their heart to you. They accepted your invitation and they came to you. And you said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. I thank you tonight. The days of emptiness is over. The days of rebellion is over. The days of agitation is over. The days of rejection is over. The days of depression is over. And the days as a children of God has begun. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every power of sin, sickness, curse, Satan, witchcraft, addiction, depression, rejection in their life. I break your power in Jesus' name. I declare the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to set the captives free. In the name of Jesus, I set you all free. I declare I am anointed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim the year of the Lord's favor upon your life. The year of jubilee. The year of restoration in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I give you glory. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. And everyone say loud, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise, everybody. Come on, give the Lord a big clap. Look at me. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at me. You have made the most important decision of your life. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you said yes to Jesus. I'm so glad you opened up and said, Jesus, come in. Years ago, I did the same thing, not knowing what I was doing. And that one choice changed my life and made me what I am today. If he can do it to me, he will do it to you and much more than that for you. Hallelujah. You are not nobody. You are not useless. You are precious. You are valuable to God. Hallelujah. You know, listen to me. I'll just share a small illustration to you. I always share this everywhere I go. Listen to this. One day, one young man was driving his car and the car broke down on the road. He tried to
started, it couldn't start, and you couldn't repair it. And meanwhile, another car came by and stopped. An elderly man got down from the car and walked up to the young man and asked him, "Son, can I help you? Can I check what's the problem with the car?" And the young man said, "This is my car. When I don't know what's the problem with my car, how do you know? How can you help?" The elderly man said, "Give me one chance, son." He said, "Okay." And the young man just opened the car up. The elderly man opened the car up, did something, and the car started in a few minutes. And the young man was surprised. He said, "Sir, this is my car. I owned it all my life. And I didn't know what's the problem with my car, how to repair it. And you are a stranger. You not only knew what's the problem with my car, you rectified it. How did you do it, sir?" And the elderly man said, "Your car is a Ford car, and I am Henry Ford, maker of the car." Only the maker can repair. You know something? Henry Ford can only repair, but Jesus recreates. Hallelujah. He is not a repairer, he is a creator. You know, the greatest miracle is not, you know, the Bible doesn't say that heaven rejoices in the blind see, deaf hear, cripple walk, even when dead raised up. Heaven rejoices when one person finds Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, somebody told me, it's difficult in New Zealand to win people to Jesus. No way, my friend. People are people everywhere, and God can touch anybody. What a joy to see these precious people receiving Christ as the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's time now we're going to pray right now. Believe God for miracles to happen. Our God is a God who confirms the word with signs and wonders following. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As I pray now, the power of God will touch you. The power of it is already moving upon your bodies that you don't understand. And I pray in the name of Jesus. The power in the name of Jesus will break the power of sickness, pain, and aches in your body. And after I finish prayer, you've got to do something that's very important. After I finish my prayer, I want you to check your body and test your body by doing what you could not do. That is, if you could not walk without the crutch, after prayer, don't hold on to the crutch. Throw the crutch, get up, move your leg and walk. If you're in the wheelchair, after prayer, don't just be seated there. Get up, walk. If you're blind, check your eyesight. If you could not bend down, after prayer, bend and check up. If you could move the hand, after prayer, move the hand and check up. Only when you test your body, you will see a miracle happening. That's why after prayer, I tested the people. I told them to do what they could not do. Only when they did it, they saw the miracle happening. Don't tell me, my doctor told me not to move. Pray right after prayer, move, and you will see a miracle happening to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Get ready right now. Come on, lift your hands up to the Lord. Let's pray. Lifting up hands is the sign of receiving from God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The power of the Lord is present here tonight to heal the sick. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bring before you all these precious people into your care. Father, I thank you for the name of Jesus, which is higher than any other name, that at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, in the name of the risen Savior, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God, whom I serve, to whom I belong, whom I represent, in the name of Jesus,
I take authority over every spirit of sickness, infirmity, pain, disorder. I break your power in Jesus' name. I command every sickness come out of the bodies in the name of Jesus. I command every blind spirit come out. Every deaf and the mute spirit come out in the name of Jesus. I command every crippled leg receive strength. Rise up, walk in the name of Jesus. Rise up, walk in the name of Jesus. Every crippled body receive strength. Walk in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I curse the cancer. Die in Jesus' name. I curse the MS. Die in the name of Jesus. Every demon of ME, come out. Every demon of arthritis, come out in the name of Jesus. Bones, joints, hear me. Move back to your place. Come back to normal. Stay normal in the name of Jesus Christ. Every tumor, disappear. Every spinal problem, be healed. Every organ injured in the accident, be healed in the name of Jesus. I curse every allergy in the name of Jesus. Intestines, be healed. All the bowels, be healed. Kidneys, be healed. Every missing organ, be recreated in the name of Jesus. Blind eyes, open. Deaf ears, open. Dumb tongue, be loosed. Father, touch your people by your power. Since Lord Jesus Christ bore all your sicknesses and he carried all your pain, by his declare you have been healed. And there is a Savior. Lord Jesus Christ heals you now. Thank you, Lord, for healing your people. I call it done. It is finished. Jesus Christ is our Lord. In Jesus' name, and everyone say loud, amen. Amen. Loud, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Check your body right now. Come on, those of you who stood up for healing, move your body, do what you couldn't do. If you could not bend, bend and check up. If you couldn't move the leg, move the leg. If you couldn't move the hand, move the hand. If you brought deaf people, clap, talk in their ear. If you brought blind people, check their eyesight. If you brought mute people, make them to say, Mama, Papa, make them to talk. Come on, come on, check your body. Do what you could not do. Don't do what you could not do. If you came with a crutch, throw the crutch. Walk in the name of Jesus. Throw the crutch and walk in the name of Jesus. And those who are healed, those who see their pain gone, they received a miracle. Those who are healed, show me your hand. Those who see your pain gone, you are healed, show me your hand. I see hands going up everywhere. All those who are healed, please don't stand there. Come up here, testify for the glory of God. What happened to you? Come on. Don't be ashamed to tell the people what Jesus did for you. Come on, running. Come on, run up. Come on, running up. Come on, running up. Come on. Yes, my friend, what happened to you?
I just had a, because I got epilepsy, I just had a black cloud from inside of the brain be blown away. And it's just pure white in there now.
Oh, wow. Come on, give the Lord a clap and praise God. Did you hear what he said? Can you volume, please?
Got epilepsy. Man, I just felt a black cloud from the inside of my brain being blown away, and now it's just pure whiteness.
Come on, people. He felt something blowing in the brain, and he feels clear in the brain because of an epilepsy. Come on, give the Lord a clap and praise God. Lord, thank you for healing my brother. I bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Yes, come on. Yes, my friend. Come on, come on up. Come on up quickly. Quick, come on.
Basically, I had a list of problems, but God's healed the whole lot. I can move, I can breathe better, my back isn't sore anymore. I can quite happily move without being in pain anymore.
No pain?
No.
Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus a clap and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, anyone else? Come on, quickly up, quickly up. Yes, my friend, come on. Yes, please.
I've got a lot of pain in my body, and my body is shaking. I can't talk properly.
His body is shaking. He's saying, I don't know why my body is shaking. He's got a lot of pain, but his body is shaking now. That's the power of God. Thank you for healing him, Lord, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. It happened. Yes, sister, please come.
I had pain and stiffness in my neck and shoulders. Much more movement, freedom.
How long you had this problem?
A few years.
Yeah. No, move it up.
No pain.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a clap and praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
I've had a lot of pain in my knees for quite a few years. And while I was standing there, I could just feel like tingling in the bottom of my feet. And the knees are a lot better now.
Wow. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a clap and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's okay. You stand there and tell me. Let me know. Yeah, please come on. What happened to you?
My shoulder was frozen, the muscle in this arm, and yeah, now it's free.
It's free now?
Yeah.
How long you had this problem?
At least a year.
For 1 year, her shoulder was frozen, and now it's free. Now she can move the shoulder. Come on, people, give Jesus a clap and praise the Lord.